Italy has fascinating culture, beautiful scenery, amazing history, and warm, friendly people. Nobody knows Italy better than the host of How to Tour Italy. Here's Anthony Capozzoli on TalkZone.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the, I guess, the second two-thirds of the show. The first third, I want to thank once again Joan Peterson. She is wonderful, and anyone out there that has written a book on travel and wants to get it out there and exposed to the right markets, Joan Peterson is definitely worth a phone call. So definitely check out TravelPubs.com. That's a Travel Publishers Association. She's wonderful and has given me lots and lots of great insights and been a motivation for me since she's so successful with her Eat Smart Guides, which are wonderful, by the way. So if you're traveling, not just to Sicily for her Eat Smart Guide there, definitely take a look at her whole collection and buy one of her books anywhere you might be going. She does a wonderful job in writing, and it'll be worth your time in doing so. Because I think she's right on, and in fact, we're going to use Joan as the inspiration for the next two segments here, which are going to be one big long one. I've got my friend and colleague, if you will, Chef Travis Rodriguez from the Timpano Restaurant in Naperville. How's it going, Travis?
It's going absolutely wonderful. How are you doing?
Thanks, buddy. Pretty good. And we'll be doing a couple things here on the show. We're going to be doing a liquor tasting of all of the wonderful liquors from Italy. So we're starting with Campari. We're going to go into Strega, and we'll talk about what these are. We've got Limoncello, we've got Fragolincello, we've got Sambuca, we've got Tuaca, and we've got Grappa. So we're going to be kind of going through these. So that's about eight shots that Anthony and Travis are going to be having. So
so if you do hear a lot of bang, that's probably me falling over.
And, yeah, exactly, right? You know. And thank God, we're going to be tasting a bit of food as well. We've got the Carpaccio that Chef Travis made from Timpano. And so tell us a little bit about that, and we're going to use that to kind of soak up some of the alcohol here. So please talk a little bit about your wonderful dish and your wonderful restaurant, and we'll go from there.
Sure, no problem. Actually, the first one is an actual tuna carpaccio. It is made with like a sushi-grade tuna, which is ahi tuna. It's got a lot of different flavors that you kind of add to it. It's roughly about 2 to 3 ounces for those Weight Watchers people out there who have to keep track of exactly how many ounces of so many things that they're eating.
Very important.
But it is pounded out. It's basically pounded out with just a little bit of extra virgin olive oil in between what would you say, like a plastic wrap, which you can do at home if you choose to. It's just pounded nice and thin, very paper thin. On top, we're going to be adding some chopped Kalamata olives, some capers, some chives, and some lovely red onions, and with a little bit of lemon garlic aioli, which is going to be fantastic. It's very refreshing, with tuna being a very refreshing fish. It's going to be very lovely. And when you're buying your tuna, when you're buying your sushi-grade tuna, make sure it does look like a piece of watermelon. You'll see a lot of times, you'll see like a little bit of a rainbow glow on top of the tuna. That does mean it's probably been sitting out just a little bit, you know, so kind of pick the one from the back that looks like a piece of watermelon.
No, that's a good tip, actually, because I recently on, I'm going to try to get some brownie points here. On Valentine's Day, we didn't go out, we stayed in and cooked, and I made king crab legs. That's right, king crab legs. And I made some seared tuna for Kristen and me to enjoy, because rather than go out, which, don't get me wrong, Travis, we love your restaurant and are frequent guests there.
Of course, of course.
But we knew on Thanksgiving on Valentine's Day was going to be quite busy, so we made that, and I bought some tuna, and I did have a little bit of that rainbow glare, so I'm glad that I know that now. I should have listened to my own radio show back then. It's another tip. So as far as carpaccio, I'm a big fan of the history of things, so maybe let's start with that. Now, carpaccio comes, you mentioned earlier, from Venice and the Veneto
region. Yeah, that's correct, from an actual place called Harry's Bar down in Venice. And the first carpaccio was made of beef. Traditionally, it's made with vinaigrette and a little bit of, goes over top, actually, of different types of salads, whether it be very peppery, so like an arugula, a watercress, a radicchio, an endive, some of the types of things that are, you're giving more flavor, so it's nothing like an iceberg lettuce will really do. It's mostly water anyway. But,
exactly.
You know, so you have some extra flavors in there. It's made with, and it was done actually in 1950. And it was actually named after an artist who used many different colors of types of reds into his paintings. So it's pretty interesting.
The artist's name, just for the record, is Carpaccio.
Carpaccio, for those who might have been confused.
Exactly. Now, a cool thing about Harry's Bar, I should point out, that was one of Ernest Hemingway's haunts. Mm-hmm. And the famous Bellini cocktail was also invented there. So they're famous for the Bellini, and they're also famous for Carpaccio. Now, I should point out that you'll see a couple of different Harry's bars, not just in Venice, but throughout Italy. I think they've got one. I know for a fact they've got one in Rome. I saw one in Florence and in Milan. Now, they have the same name, the same decor, the same everything, but I think each are individually owned. So I guess they're, for lack of a better term, franchised.
Franchised, yeah.
I think the one in Venice is worth a stop. It is quite expensive. The Bellini cocktail is small, and I think you're going to pay around 12 to 14 euro for it. That's around $18 U.S., but it's worth going in and checking it out.
Exactly. For those who like the history of things, just to actually be there and just say, hey, I had a Bellini where it was created. It's just an experience alone. That's pretty much what you're paying for, not necessarily the cocktail itself.
I agree, along with the Carpaccio.
And the Carpaccio.
So when people make Carpaccio at home, and then we're going to get into the tasting, I'm very excited about
that.
Yes,
me too. Me too. My mouth is watering as we speak.
So you take the tuna and or the cut of steak, and we'll get into the specifics about the steak in a minute here, but then you cover it with plastic wrap.
Brush it with a little bit of extra virgin olive oil first.
Okay.
So that'll prevent it from sticking to the actual film that you're using.
Wonderful. And then you said you beat it with a mallet. What kind of mallet are we talking about so people know?
You definitely pretty much any type of mallet, definitely not a hammer, but I mean something that has like a broad head and is very flat. You don't want anything that's texturized. The meat itself, you know, if you're using, because you are using a high grade meat, you're not using anything that's, you know, like a ground chuck or anything like that. But, you know, you are using something that, you know, as you pound out, it will flatten out very nicely. And it's actually very easy. You don't have to use a lot of effort to actually pound it out. It's actually, you know, nice light taps will make it just fine.
Good deal. And then, so how long, let's say, for a normal cut, and you mentioned 3 ounces was about
the size. 3 ounces is a good size.
So about for a 3 ounce cut of fish, how long would it take for one to turn it into tuna carpaccio? About 5 minutes of pounding?
Maybe not even. And as you do it several times, you do get a little bit better and pressure and stuff like that. But you know, roughly about, you know, if you take your time, 2-3 minutes.
Great, perfect. And we'll. We'll talk about that in more detail with the flavorings and the tastings of that as we go here. So with that, I want to segue into the tasting segment of the show. So we're going to start out with Campari. And if you check out Campari.com, it's Campari.com. So it's Campari.com. This is one of those cocktails that is very popular in Italy. And it's popular here in the States for, you know, certain Italian restaurants, and you'll see it everywhere. Now, they drink it a couple of different ways, and the reasons they drink it are a little bit different each time. So, first of all, you can have it before you enjoy a meal, and it's a bitter, so it kind of cleans off your palate. It gets you ready for your wonderful evening. Now, I recommend, we're going to do it just straight or neat here. It's served at room temperature. If you have it neat, there's no ice. In Italy, they'll give it to you in a small glass. You might get one or two ice cubes and a whole slice of orange in there. Now, I prefer it with a little bit of soda because it cuts it, because it is a bit rough, I should say. But I love it. I've fallen in love with it. And you'll see it drunk throughout the entire boot, through Sicily. And it's definitely something everyone should try. Now, the color of it, it looks like, if you can imagine, it's a red NyQuil almost.
Cough syrup.
Yeah, it looks like a red cough syrup. But trust me when I say, anyone that laughs at you and says, oh, you're drinking a girl's drink, whatever, no offense, ladies, just give them a taste of Campari and see if they can hold their face. I'm betting they can't. So with that, we're going to give this a little taste. So if there's a little break in the action, that's because we're actually sipping some of this Campari down. So with that, Travis, I want to say cheers. We normally hang out together at the Lantern in Naperville and do this quite often, so we're very comfortable with this part of the show. Salute. Enjoy the Campari. Yeah, I love it, but it's a little rough. I tell you that, going down.
It is a little rough. It definitely does have that bitter.
Yeah, it definitely kind of sticks to your tongue, mm-hmm. if you will. But it's mm-hmm. great because it does wipe out all the flavors.
It does, yeah.
And it
all
gets
toothpaste
you,
is now gone.
It is gone. So I recommend it with a little bit of soda water, an orange wedge, and then this way have it before you enjoy your meal. And then I, quite frankly, I'll drink it at home. If I want to relax and have a cocktail, I'll have a Campari and soda. And it goes down quite nice.
Now, in Italy, don't they actually bottle it with soda as well?
They do, actually. Yeah. Well, good segue. I completely kind of spaced on that. But Travis is absolutely right. They make it, so instead of it being an alcoholic beverage, mm-hmm. they make it so it's an alcoholic beverage. And you can enjoy it. You know, you just crack it. It's already got the soda water in it, along with the Campari, but the non-alcoholic version, if you will. And it's called San Bitter if it's not the Campari
exactly.
alcoholic version. Yeah. So that's Sanbitter. And most little Italian restaurants, or rather Italian markets, will have that. We're going to finish this Campari up here. I didn't take that big a sip. That's what I'm famous for. I take baby sips for my shots, but I'm going to finish this up here. Hold on. Whew, very tasty.
A definite distinct flavor.
It's very good. And it's The basis for this, it's an aperitif, so a for-dinner drink, and it's infusion, and they claim 60, and I shouldn't even say claim, that it is made from 60 different ingredients, and it's distilled It's a type of bitter. So it's something you almost have to just taste for yourself. I wish I could describe the flavor, but it's kind of rough to do so. Unless, Travis, you've got anything by the flavor side.
It does have a very, like, a lot of hints of like orange, lemon, lime. Definitely, as you could, you know, as Anthony said, it's kind of bitters. So when you think bitters, you always think those citrusy components. But
yeah, exactly.
You know, but it's just it's very cleansing. It's kind of refreshing, actually. You know, that first initial bite of it, you know, but then as it settles, you know, it's kind of opens things up. It opens your palate up to express like the foods that. That we're about to consume as well.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to go nice with the Campari and or rather the Carpaccio. So right now I'm pouring. It's called Strega, and it looks like I guess Galliano is the best example of that I can give you. That yellowish and the Galliano. We're not going to taste that today, but the Galliano is that long, slender bottle that you see at the bar. That's always the tallest bottle on the rack. Strega means witch in Italian.
That's that's a little concerning here.
But it's actually not that bad. It's a lighter taste. I'm not going to say it's a bitter, but it's also made from a blend of different herbs and flavorings. And it's made from Benevento, which is in where I'm from, in the region that I'm from, Campania region. And I've got to find my specific notes on it. But it's a different dish. The Campari is getting in my head already. It's a kind of a different flavor, but I one of those that I highly recommend that you try. Now, this is the kind of I enjoy the Strega after a meal, usually in a kind of a taller stemmed glass, just a little bit, not too much. So I guess one shot of that. Mm-hmm. We're going to give this a bit of a taste, and then we'll talk about what we find in the flavorings here. Salute. Yeah, see, I love that. What do you think, Travis?
Ooh. it's reminding me of something. Wow, almost like a saffronish, almost like a little bit of a...
Yeah, well, that's exactly part of the reason it's got that yellow color.
Yeah. well, there you go.
It's
some of these I haven't tried before. So Anthony's showing me for my first time as well. So
yeah, it's actually made and distilled with saffron in it. So that's part of the reason it does have that flavor.
Especially that yellow color as well.
Yeah, exactly. So the coloring and a large part of the flavor comes from the saffron. And it's an interesting bottle. It's around 23 U.S. So definitely something to try. Now, the only fear, I recommend trying it at a restaurant before you buy it, bring it home.
Yes,
because it's definitely something you have to get used to on the palate, or it's going to go to waste. It'll be like that Rock and Rye your parents had from 1972 in the liquor cabinet, which you want to avoid. But it's very good. I mean, so definitely something to try.
And then definitely cooking with it as well. I mean, to use it as, you know, maybe you saute some garlic, some shallots, kind of hit it with a little bit of some of the Stratega, and then using some kind of fish, maybe some kind of lobster or fish stock, and almost making like a brothiness, and then can go over pasta, can just be by itself, it can be an appetizer, it can be a full entree, almost whatever you can do, and it'll give you that nice saffron flavor.
That's great, I should tell you. And I don't know if I mentioned it or not, but back on the Campari topic, Jessica Alba is now the spokesperson for Campari, so you can see on their website, Campari.com, a cool calendar with her, you know, every month drinking Campari in different scenarios.
All the more reason to go out and get a bottle of Campari.
Exactly. Go Jessica Alba. I love it. So what we're going to do now, I'm going to finish my Strega, which, if you will, the yellow stuff, very good. And then we're going to be trying Limoncello, a little bit more popular and I think well-known cocktail from Italy. So let's just kind of tap this Strega up here. Delicious.
Wow. Amazing saffron notes with it.
It's great. I should tell you. I mean, maybe now's a good time to maybe segue into the Carpaccio. We'll try that.
Yeah, sure. Of course.
Travis will talk us through that, and then after we taste the tuna Carpaccio, we'll go into a little bit of a break, and then wrap with Limoncello, Fragolincello, and the rest of our wonderful liqueurs. So with that, let's talk a little bit about some tuna Carpaccio, maybe get some of that down before I get drunk.
Sure, no problem. Kind of move some things around here.
Please.
All right, so a lot of these things I have already pretty... chopped up ahead of time, diced, so you will. Some Kalamata olives, some capers, which of course I did not dice. Some lovely red onion, and some lovely chives. Okay, just bear with me here while kind of
So one of the things, too, Travis, I should say, your restaurant is located right downtown Naperville at Washington and Chicago, right on the corner.
That is correct. That is
and
correct.
You have free valet parking. Is that 7 days a week?
That is not 7 days a week. That is Tuesday through Saturday.
Tuesday through Saturday.
So. Which is kind of nice due to the fact that, you know, Naperville, absolutely wonderful, wonderful town. Parking's a little rough, so to have that valet service, kind of get in, get out, especially during the winter times, during the snow, during the rains, and those kind of things. So
indeed.
It's very nice.
Well, one thing I do want to point out, I want to give props to, I think, the best bartender in Naperville, my friend Brian. He is a tall, bald fellow who's always behind the bar on the busy nights. But he makes, I think, the single best, slightly dirty martini up that that I've had in Naperville. And he always is the guy, by the way. Naperville makes these, they have these competitions all the time. Who makes the best Bloody Mary? Who makes the best Irish coffee? Who makes the best margarita? He always wins.
He wins them all.
Every time I see him there, I'm just, my shoulders slump down because I used to bartend. And I'm like, oh, I'm not going to win. So, you know, I guess you could say it's like playing one-on-one with Michael Jordan. You're just not going to win.
Wish the Irish Coffee Contest is coming up pretty soon at Quigley's Pub.
That's right. So come on down if you're in the area and check it out. They do a good job at Quigley's making, you know, I guess each bar contributes what they consider to be their best Irish coffee. Brian usually wins. He won last year.
Through a little bit of help of myself.
That's right. Chef Travis helped out. So tell us, walk us through a little bit about what you're doing there. So you have the pounded out.
I had the pounded out tuna. Okay, you have it in between two pieces of parchment paper, so you will. You pound it out, a little bit of olive oil. You start to bring it apart. If it does stick to one side and not the other, kind of just bring it back down, kind of give it a little bit of a rub. You can even kind of touch a little bit to get it to come out. You flip that over onto a plate, and then the same process again. Kind of peel it back. If it's starting to pull up and not sticking to the plate, rest it back down, rub it down a little bit, and then eventually it will come off. It will come off. And then I just kind of put in a little bit of a lemon garlic aioli, which is something that you can do very simple at home. It's very good with fish. Just kind of a mixture of a little bit of mayonnaise, a little bit of Dijon mustard, freshly squeezed lemon juice, fresh garlic essence. So it's basically almost like a garlic oil. So you kind of just sweating the garlic a little bit, and you can put it through a food processor or a blender and then add that to it and just kind of mix it up. Something very simple. Kalamata olives are just chopped up chives, very small, thinly sliced chives. A little bit of red pepper. And you kind of want to go a little bit easy with the red pepper and the chives just because it is, you're going to get the same flavor out of them.
Sure.
It's kind of like that bite to it. So you don't want to overpower the actual tuna itself. You want to keep your ingredients very small, just kind of, so you get a little bit of onion, a little bit of olive, a little bit of caper, little bit of the aioli in each bite, and you can eat it with just as is. You can make little crackers. You can use anything, wheat thins, whatever.
Sure.
Whatever you like.
Well, I love it. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We are going to try the carpaccio on break, and then we're going to come back and talk through a little bit just so we have enough time to get through both carpaccios and the rest of the booze. So we'll let you know how it goes. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you in about 2 minutes. Ciao.